And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians, if you would. And in our exercise of late, remember, I was going to use just to remind yourself out there around us, theological activities, all kinds of religious thinking, and some of it is very strong in some places. And so we're going to look at that particular, but in getting that, I thought it would be good to remind us where we are right now in church history. Here we are, looking out the window, looking in our heart, and looking out the window. So, what are we to understand? What should we be understanding? And now, so in the light of that, if you remember, in the early church, it was a wonderful thing. And the book of Acts and all of that, the day of Pentecost. And you'd recall on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, it was so strong, God's influence, what God was doing, that when the believers got together in the middle of a square, they were so excited and were thanking God together in a circle, as it were. People on the outside here saw it, and they were drawn into it. It was so potent, powerful. Wow. Great influence. Then, of course, the devil comes along and seeks to knock it down. So, in knocking it down and putting it out of business, darkness hates light, and therefore darkness will not tolerate light. So therefore, as you would go, you hit Galatians in the first Paul's letter up in the front, maybe 50 AD. And then it hasn't gone very far. Here's the crucifixion, here's the resurrection, here's the book of Acts and all that's happening. And here's Paul in his Galatians first journey. And you'll notice in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Now remember, we spent a lot of time going over the Spirit of God's ministry from Genesis, we turn the pages, and etc. The Spirit of God's absolute essential ministry to make any of it work. And so therefore, here's the early church, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit indwelt them and brought the wonderful life of God into their heart. And therefore, now, so here we are, just not very far, and the influence is there to get them to not, you don't want to be have, hang on to this, you don't want to have such a relationship to God. You don't want to have that. You don't need that. That's His, that's Him. You need to enjoy your life and live your life. Now, so therefore, that's chapter 3. Chapter 5. And you'll note, chapter 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. The sacrifices, the crucifixion, circumcision, not crucifixion, sacrifices in themselves, animal sacrifices, did not, could not pay for your sin. Could not do it. So the animal sacrifices can't do it. I'm going to be circumcised. I'm going to have something done to qualify. It'll never profit you. It doesn't save you. Christ saves you, not the system and not anything you do. Christ does it. Now, that's what they're up against. This is a, now, if you jump up to 68, 60s, go 10, 12 years into the future. 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And you'll recall 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. One devil, many demons. And therefore, there's the end, and verse chapter 4, and you slide down through the chapter and go all the way to verse 16. Take heed. Let me pick up verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed, verse 16, unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, the teaching, the word of God. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, if they want to hear thee. If they don't want to hear, they don't hear. We just think of Matthew 13. They don't hear. The seed goes to the, like on Wednesday, the seed goes on the wayside and the devil takes it away, which we did. Now, having said that in verse, go over to 2 Timothy. And not much later, 2 Timothy, and picking up in chapter 4, and you'll remember in chapter 4. Do chapter 3, just the beginning. Chapter 3, know this also, that in the last days, what you read in 1 John, it is the last days. So here, this is a few years earlier, 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous, difficult times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, etc., etc. Sliding over to verse chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear what it says. They don't want to know what God said. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's, they haven't even hit 100 AD. We haven't even got to the gospel. We haven't even got to 1 John, the first epistle of John, 95, 96, right in there. We haven't got that. We're earlier, and we got a lot of problems. The devil hates light, loves darkness, etc. So now, having said that, so when we come to 100 AD and we jump over a little bit, now what have we got? Well, we got all the problems coming in. People are there, apostles are the last living apostle, the apostle John, has died, and now the people are all doing what they do. God is outworking his through his will in his wonderful way amidst persecution and trouble. Having said that, so here are the churches that are there, and they're there, and you know, without doing all that. And the churches of the Ephesians, Lystra, Derbe, all of them, all over the place. And what are they doing? Well, everyone's doing the thing, and they have contact, interacting. And the church over here, in Podunk, church over here, has, they do what they do. They do what Antioch, and they don't do the same thing as in Derbe. And the churches in Antioch is strong. They got a lot of potent people, important people, and people that are good leaders. And the good leaders begin to come forward, and the churches begin to look to, here's the churches, and they look to this leader, because this leader is stronger than them, and he has more everything. So they look to him as leader, and all of that changes. And so the church, instead of being totally independent and locked onto God, doing that, it doesn't do that. It's locked on to each other. So that the church, this side is powerful, and this side depends on this side, looks to this side. So this side, whatever they're doing, comes over to here to this side. You understand that? And then it comes over here to this side. So now we're thinking what you do on this side over here, and it isn't in line at all with what God said. God never said that they have a leader over all. Each church is individual and stands individually before God, answers individually before God. But now it isn't like that. Come forward, 300 plus AD. And we have the great church, the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church goes from persecuting Christians, Rome does, to honoring the church and making it a state religion-like kind of thing. And so therefore, we take all the idols down in the church, and we put up saints, St. George and each one. They put them all up, the saints. And what do? The church becomes part of a system. It doesn't belong in the system. The system loves darkness and it hates light. So now, if drawn in, what about the light? We run away from the light. We back off and we get more and more into the darkness. And so the churches are caught up. All the Greek Orthodox and all these different things happen, the Reformation and all of it. And then we end up with all the churches. Now, jumping, you got that part? It's already been shot at, the churches. The church has already been infiltrated with going the wrong direction. Hang on to that, because if we live long enough and the Lord tarries in the morning message, you won't know it any better. God makes it so easy. He said, this is what I want. And would you please listen to me? And don't do anything else. So you're done. But no one's listening, God. No one's listening. No. Now, so here we are. We come along. And Reformation and all of that and all the church history. And the church is over. Doing warring with each other and Catholicism and all of these different things. And all the things develop. And so as we develop, jumping way ahead to where we are, here we are with all the different churches and groups there. And what do they do? Each group followed a given Calvin, Luther, Wesley. They did what they did down the corridor of time. And they had divisions and all of that, and groups. This is our group. This is your group. That's your group back here. And we have our little groups. We're all trying to read the Bible and trying to do whatever, but we have our groups, and we have our thinking about the Bible. And that's our thinking about the Bible. Now hang on to that. And so then process, we have all of those groups. They're doing what they're doing. And people join groups. Oh, now there's individuals in all of us, in history, church history, the individuals that looked to God and they were not honored and respected at all. They weren't respected. But they were right. But the system, but why can't you do right in a wrong world? Because the world is wrong, and the world doesn't want right. Why can we not do light in the darkness? Because the world loves darkness and will not ever accept the light. It'll never do it. So here we come, and here's all the schools. Come along, jump along. And the schools are there. What do we do? What's our system? Our system is we train, understandably, from a human standpoint, and we train in the churches. We have schools, school representing the Baptist school, representing Presbyterian school, Congregational schools, Methodist, whatever, and we got the schools. And in the midst of it, we have Bible schools. So here's all the schools, and they do what they do. How does the church function? Well, the church doesn't function like in the New Testament, where God gives and works what he does, and the church just becomes. It doesn't become that, where God just gifts and does what he does, and the church is sufficient. They don't do that. What do we have to do? Depends what you want. What are you believing? You want to believe Methodist, then you go to Methodist. And Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever you're doing. And you go to that. And you do it. Why wouldn't you do it? Because that's where you're raised. And you feel called to the ministry. And therefore you go to school. Where do you go to school? You go to the Methodist school. You go to the Baptist school. You go to the Congregational school. That's where you go, wouldn't it? What's logical? So I got up to school. And my background is Methodist, literally Methodist. And lest I forget, I still remember him as a little boy, Arthur J. Strait, and the church, Methodist Church in Somerville, Mass., is the church written by the poet, The House by the Side of the Road. That's where I went to church. That's the basis of that poem, The House by the Side of the Road, is that that church. I went there. Archer J. Strait was the minister. When I was in California, doing whatever I was doing out there, and in the process, I thought I should go to the Methodist Church, and I went to the Methodist Church because I was going to drop them, and I had taught Sunday school and all these things, trying to tell them all they need to be saved. Now, the Archer J. Strait in Somerville, out there in El Segundo, a church, neither of them ministers would accept and allow. All I want the little children to know is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior to be saved. They said, we don't do that here. That's Methodist Church. The doctrine, that isn't what they do. That's what the Bible does. But that isn't what we do. We're Methodist, you say. Well, Wesley wouldn't agree with you. But anyway, you got the idea. We're Baptist. We aren't Presbyterians. We're Baptist. We're Congregationalist. Whatever we are, that's what we are. So I go to the school. I go graduate. And I need a job, et cetera, et cetera. In the system, it's a system. And the system will call me, and I have my credentials, and I get hired, and assuming it's all right with the people and where I'm going, then I get hired, I'm the minister. What am I doing? I'm going to teach them the Bible. That's right, going to teach them the Bible. What are you going to teach? what I have known about the Bible. I went to school about the Bible, and I'm going to teach about what I learned. I'm going to teach it. What do you want me to teach? That's what I am. You want me to be a teacher. You want me to be a preacher and help you understand the Bible. And so that's what I'm going to do. So here now, multiply that 1,000 times in 1,000 different kinds of ways, and that's what people are doing. It's very rare, and on the good side, you go to a Bible school and you want to teach the Bible. But whatever your background is, that's going to stay with you. And now, if you're a diligent person, you're going to know, like when I went to school, bio learned that a little bit back in those things, and Henrietta Mears, founder of Gospel Light, one of those people told me, don't get tied up with a student. Find the students. Find this group of students. Find the group of students that want to grow. You'll know the difference. They're different. They don't want to just get the Bible and I learned it and you learned it and we passed the test. I got a B+, et cetera, et cetera. We did whatever. No. They're looking to understand God. Get with that group. Now, I didn't particularly find that group, but I was older, and so therefore I knew the difference. I said, I don't want to, God said I don't want, anyway, you don't need all that stuff. Anyway, with all of that, so therefore, you go, and we go to, the student goes back, becomes a pastor, and they carry on the same thing. What's the problem? Now, sometime, even with Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, sometime the dear heart of the man, of whatever, the believer, the man, studying, doing the pastor or whatever he's supposed to be, he's there, and he reads the Bible, and he's looking at it, and God convicts him, and he begins to believe what it says. And I read what it says here, using jumping ahead. I read what it says about depravity, what you tell me about being depraved is. And it's different than what I was taught. So now I have to question what I was taught. Because this doesn't say that. And I'm convicted of the Spirit of God. I'm going to keep reading. And I'm going to have to change my thinking because my background is not matching the book, the recipe. How do you know? If you remember, someone told me in the bank years ago, and in the process said, I said, how do you know the difference between the $20 bill or whatever? And they said, we know what a true dollar bill is. If we know what the true is, they teach us the true so we can always recognize the false. We're looking for truth in the true. If we don't see truth in the true, we know it's not right. What do we need? We're going to the book. We need to go to the book. That's God's recipe. God never said the theological school. Now, there's nothing wrong with it if you do it right, but God never said that. You won't even read that. You won't, what I just described for you, you won't read that in the Bible. You certainly won't read it in the book of Acts. You won't read it. It doesn't exist. The local church was sufficient. God did whatever in the local church, and that's what he did. And the church was raised up. And God gave gifts. And God gave the pastor and everything. That's what he did. And they were safe because they stayed in the book and with God. And they were safe. They didn't get caught up in the stupid system. and the system kills us. I'm trying to help you understand. It's our system. Is it going to be fixed? No. How do you know that? Because God tells us the history of the church, Revelation 2 and 3, etc. What do we know? What did the church in Ephesus, the early church, the book of Acts, what did they know? Revelation 2. They lost their first love. They lost their first love. Revelation 2, 4. They lost their first love for God. Oh, they held the Bible, but they lost the God who gave the Bible. And it was all about him. And when they lost him, they lost him. So now all they have is a bunch of words. So where's that going to take us? Which is where what I've been trying to remind you of. Where's that going to take us? To Revelation chapter 3, the end of the church where we are. Now they lost their love for God, square one. Now we're coming over here. And Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. I'm outside the church. You left me out. The church has left me out of the door. And we've got churches and all the God doing what they're doing. But we don't have anything. You can't, God said. You left me out of the picture. You may have your Presbyterian. Now, and so on. You got a little bit on that. There's all kinds of ways to go. And so there are serious. There are people who are serious. Usually the groups, Orthodox, liberal, conservative, et cetera, and all Jews and everything. Jews, Muslims, they're all the same. Protestants, Catholics, we're all the same. There's the serious guy. He's the serious girl or guy. Now they're into it. They're into it. That's the trouble over there in Iran, if I understand it right. If I understand it right. I don't know any. I wish I knew more, but I don't. But if this is true, there are 13 left leaders in Pakistan and in Iran. And each leader has a group. If you kill each group off, each group is going to stand all by itself to support even unto death. Unto death we stand. You'll have to kill us. We're going to do what we're going to do, the way we're going to do it. So if you leave, take away 10, you still got 3 left. You're stuck in the dumb situation. Because it isn't just one guy. It's a whole lot of guys that are leading little groups that are so strong they don't need the other groups. They're going to stand all by themselves. Anyway, now, I forgot what I was going to say. Now, you got the idea. Now, so there are the liberals in all of these, Islam, Muslim, Jews, Protestants, Catholics. There's the liberals. They all go. There's the serious guy, I started to say, and they're committed. I mean, they're committed to communism and whatever. They aren't just there. They're sold out in their soul. And that's why they're willing to go to the death, because this is their world and this is their heaven. And this is what you go for. And that's what they do. But the serious kind of Protestant, using Protestants, Catholics, the serious kind, they don't do that. No. They go, and the leader's there doing what he's doing, representing his school background and whatever, and he's teachers and has the big group in front of him, 3,000 people in front of him. And he got it. And he does that. Now, the 3,000 people sitting there, most of them probably don't have a Bible, and they're sitting there listening and cheering and yay, amen, and all of it. They say, are they having an understanding of what that guy does? A commitment to what that guy does? Not on your life. not on your life. They're there, they get it, yay, and they go home. And it isn't going to go anywhere. They aren't very serious, but they are somewhat serious. And then there's the others that really aren't serious at all. And they're in name only, Catholics, Protestants, Islam, whatever, the name. And they just do what they do, the way they do it, like other people do. But they aren't caught up in the group. So you've got all the different shades and colors and everything of the way it works. So having said that and keeping that in mind, and having all of that in front of you, so here's the source. You have to go to the Bible. That's where you begin. That's where it was. It got sidetracked. The devil got it off center, away from the Bible, away on our thinking, how we think about what God thinks, how I think about what God thinks. And I write it down. That's what I said. That's simple. No. God thinks, and God says, you think like I think, or else. You think like I do. You agree with me. You confess that I am who I am, and I say what I mean, and mean what I say. And you agree with me. You don't think for me. You agree with me. There's a difference. And so therefore, we have to go back to the book. Now, we have been fortunate, because I'm from that background, like a lot of you guys are. And so therefore, I got spared. I don't want to get in a stupid system. Methodism, I told you that probably, all these different things. They had a big... Somebody thinks I said so many years ago, did I remember saying him when? I could have said it 40 years ago. So anyway, if you got a good memory, you remember back then when I was really wrapped up in everything. Boy. And I went, because the Methodist Church had their national convention in Santa Monica, California. And they had their convention. And they were from all over the world at the Methodist Church. So I went to that, because I was a Methodist background. I wasn't going to the Methodist Church then, but I was a Methodist. I knew what it was. And the Methodists, and I had in my little head and my little heart, and you think this is funny, but it is funny. And I said, God, John Wesley could do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to save the Methodist Church. I'm going to go save the Methodist Church. I'm going to bring it back to where it should be. Anyway, I went to the convention and sat in the front row with this big table with all these dignitaries that are going to speak. I sat in the front row, and I told you this, and I raised my hand. They hadn't even got going very much. I raised my hand. And so therefore, they nicely acknowledged me because I was right in front of them. They acknowledged me, and I said, You need to tell them they need to know the Lord as their personal Savior. That's the kind of thing I was saying. I said that to them as whatever way I said it. I said it. And they said, son, sit down. Sit down, son. And they just kept going. I raised my hand again. And they said, sit down. And then I got up and walked out. And then I stood in the doorway of that big building. And I wept. I never wept that hard in my life. I wept something fierce. In fact, it came, and I was still weeping when people were coming out. I wept. God, I said, they've given away and taken from the people your wonderful person. And that's what I did. That's me. That's my little Methodist experience. So God did what he did and the way he did it. And gone, so here we are. So now, so all the different seriousness. So people sitting there like now, we're going to speak here Sunday. Here we are. We're trying to learn. And people come and they come and go, come in and out, that's what they do. And they're interested in learning, but not too much. I don't want to learn too much. They don't say that to themselves. Whatever I'm learning is enough. And to be able to say, like I say to the men, you need to be able to what? If you're listening and following and we're on target, follow where we're going today and keep following, and then you could get up here and follow the same track. If you can't follow the same track, you haven't listened. You're doing what you do the way you do it. And we're trying to lock on to what it says and what you want of us, God. And so therefore, we're absorbing. We aren't just trying to come in and out in church on a given day or Sunday or something and visit church. I'm not interested in that. You aren't interested in that. We want to know. And you'll catch it again this morning if I jump ahead. God said, listen, how can you possibly not understand? God said, I've given you a gift of myself. God gave you himself. That's a gift in Christ. Do you understand that gift? Of all the gifts you can get, of all the things you could have, I'm giving you the gift of myself. I'm the person giving to your person a person. That's what I'm doing. Do you understand that? That's what it means to be saved. That's awesome. That's the Bible. We're going to do it. I got to quit. Now, you got the idea. And so therefore, there's the serious students. And we have, and therefore, over the book of Acts, I know you haven't got very much, but we aren't doing much. I'm just trying to chit-chat with you because no one's going to say this stuff like I can because I'm so dumb. But you got the idea. I'm trying to help you understand something. And if you haven't experienced it, how could you possibly say it? You couldn't. You have to go through it. I've been there. I'm on my way out. On my way. And I think I told Jeanette. So I said, so you all know it, so it's comfortable. I said, God, if you would be pleased, I would like to die healthy. I want to be healthy, God. I want to be doing what I'm doing and just drop dead. Okay? God, is that all right? Do you see? That's a nice way. That's my plan, Jeanette. So don't expect me to be laying there somewhere for 10 years. God, I just want to, you come there. I said, I'm going to take a nap, Jeanette. Take a nap. I got to take a nap. But I may never wake up. Be of good cheer. God has been gracious. Now probably, after I just told you this, I shouldn't have ever said it. Because God's going to put me through the worst problems ever. You got the idea. I'm trying to help you understand. Therefore, I started to say, Acts in chapter 17, as you would know. And I started to say, you have the advantage we do because we're always reading the Bible all these years. You've been listening to the same stuff. And we haven't got any. I don't care what Calvin says. I don't care what Luther said. God bless them. I want to know what God said. To the extent it agrees and Calvin likes it, good. Luther likes it, good. But if they don't like it, too bad. It's what it says. And that's where I am. And you're looking to that. And you've been blessed with that. You are blessed with it now. You're hearing stuff. I can't get into the reform stuff in that. What we say in the morning, evening, reformed would never say that. They'd never say that to you. That you are already crucified and you already have eternal life. They cannot say that. They cannot say that. Well, you already know it. And you're getting pestered for what? To know you already have something, use it. Believe it. Exercise it. You already know it. You don't need to know more of just facts. You need to have life. So therefore, Acts, I know you're coming. It's coming. Acts chapter 17. And picking up, you know, church in Thessalonica, chapter 17, going to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming hither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They wanted to know what it said, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so, to see if it's so. You're going to read, that's why we read a verse and 25 other verses. And they're all saying the same thing and they're all building. So when you open your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it says the same thing. God isn't saying 10 different things. He says the same thing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, so the word, and the word becomes all that it does. So therefore now, have you got an idea? You got the general flavor of what I'm trying to tell you. Go to the book. What does God say? Read the recipes and ask, and thank God he knows how to use them. They tell all about himself and let God say what he says. You may not understand it. Just say thank you. Thank you, God, for talking to me. And I've had people talk to me, which is easy to do. A doctor talking to me, some doctor says something in some medical language, and I don't know what he said. But I say, Doc, thank you for talking to me. I don't know what you said, but thank you for talking to me. And then if I had hindsight, another shot at it, I'd say, God, would you please put it in my language? Would you please put it simply so I understand it? Thank you for talking to me. I read the Bible. Thank you for giving me a love letter from you. Thank you very much. The Bereans searched the scriptures. So, in the light of that, having that. So here's Calvin, here's Luther, here's all their backgrounds, here's all of the theology books. God bless them, and they're helpful in some ways. You have to read them. Some you don't have to read them, but you could read them if you're going to school because you want to be a student. And therefore you go to school and you read them. And you read different books to see what different other people think. Other people think about things. And you can do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Calvin, Luther, Warfield, Hodge and all of that, and in the process. So there is the Reformed kind of thinking, theology, and it is summed up, if I understand it right, with a little word, tulip, which is Calvinism. Lutheranism, Calvinism, all the different, this is Calvinism, which is Baptist, Calvinist, etc., Calvinist. And different ways and different ways of doing, understanding things. So therefore, and the word tulip has to do with spelling out total depravity of man. The total depravity of man. Bankruptcy. Total bankruptcy. Yep. And we'd agree. We'd say, I agree. We're bankrupt. No flesh shall glory in his presence. There's no way to read the Bible and not understand God just crucified our old man, 1,000%. He doesn't need any thoughts, any background. He died for the sin of Adam, and thus he died for my sin. And he took it to the cross, and did that. So God, you did it, the total depravity. But then if I start adding, you're so depraved, you don't have a will. You're unable to choose. You're unable to believe because you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. What can you do when you're dead? That's what I believe. So then, now you got a problem. Anyway, I jump ahead of myself. So I got to believe. But I don't believe. I can't believe because I'm dead. Therefore, God, what are you going to do? You're going to have to go and have unconditional election. T-U. Election. And God picks who he's going to save. God picks who he's going to save. And thus, since you can't, you're dead, then you need what? He has to regenerate you and make you alive enough to be able to believe. He has to make you alive enough because you're elect. He died for you. Limited atonement. I only died for the elect. Hang on. I know we did this once years ago, and people, a whole bunch of group people, because they came in. That's what they believed. Like, you can believe whatever you want. But it sure doesn't say that. It sure doesn't say that. Anyway, now, having said that, and so therefore, he has to regenerate. And therefore the person is able to be saved by faith. And therefore, faith. And so therefore, limited atonement, God has to die for only, and irresistible grace, God's going to do what he does. Until God does that, and helps you, you can't believe. God has to do it for you. I thought you're supposed to do it. Everywhere I read, what does the Lord Jesus say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But he can't ask that of me. And he asks it page after page of God's word. To have faith. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please me. But you said on the system, we can't have any faith because we're dead. Then God, what are you saying? How can you blame me for something I can't do? You see, boy, this thing gets sort of complicated. Yes, it does. Because then I have to go in the process. In the process, God dies for the elect. That's all he dies for. And irresistible grace, you have to go and hang in there. And God's going to go. And you don't, I'm going to stop with that because I'm going to have to come back to this. And I'm going to inch you through it so you see it scripturally. So you're locked in, so you're comfortable. Otherwise, people say, and I wouldn't follow, this is crazy. This whole thing is crazy. But, and I'll jump ahead with the illustration that will help you. I forget the guy's name, I'll get it. Anyway, here's Calvinism. Hang on to what I just said. I'm going to go back. Now, what does Calvinism do? What does Reform do? Presbyterian, etc. What do? I go back and I believe everything in the Bible, and I go and when I take the Bible and I rest it on Calvin. I rest it on the 1,300 pages of Calvinism, etc. 400 times Augustine. Is quoted. Augustine, here's Calvin, 1500. Here's Calvin. So I'm going to go to Calvin. Here's my Bible. I'm going to take my Bible. I rest it on Calvin. I'm resting because I'm trusting Calvin. And Calvin's trusting who? Augustine, 480. He's trusting Augustine. So he's trusting Augustine. And Calvin quotes, is 26 years old, whatever, with the thing. He's quoting Augustine. So here's Augustine. So what am I doing now? Why am I reformed? Because I'm going, I believe the Bible, I'm a fundamentalist, I believe the Bible, and I'm resting on what it says, based on Calvin, based on Augustine, 400 years, at 400 AD. I'm resting. I'm not resting on the book. I'm resting on Calvin and Augustine. That's where my theology comes from. That's where my understanding comes from. I'm resting on that. And that's hard to say. And you can't do that. You have to go to the book and put Calvin, God bless Calvin, infant baptism and all of that stuff. Here we got Calvin, got that, all of that. Why Catholics? Because you want to baptize the baby to get them to understand. They want to be elect, don't they? They want to have a shot at being elect. And we're going to go and be baptized the baby because I'm in the Catholic Church. I got a shot at being elect and in the shot of being elect. And then, and I got a shot. I started to go, you know, now Catholics, what are we going to do? Do we know we're saved? No. What are we going to have to know? We're going to spend how many centuries in purgatory? We have to go to purgatory. No one can go straight to heaven. You can't know that. You have to go to purgatory. Now, unless you're Saint George, you might be able to get through. But you understand? You got to go. And I have the Catholic Bible. You have it. Little confraternity. In the process, what have we got? Right on the front cover, it says, every 15 minutes a day that you spend in the Bible is 300 days less than purgatory. That's what it says. Now, I'd read the Bible 2 hours every day. That's what I want to read. I want to add up, don't you? You've got to get out of purgatory. The guy that's going to tell you, bear with me, everyone forget, in the process, Brother Randall Showers, this guy was speaking, he said it to me. I said, wow, he went to the funeral. He's the leader in the reform thing. And he was the leader's funeral. And in the giving of the talk for his funeral, the guy said, and we don't know whether he's saved or not, because no one can know they're saved until they die, whether they're elect. You don't know whether you're elect. You don't know that, so you can never know. But you're going to be committed. What's there? Obedience. 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 Works. Obedience. Commitment to the church. Commitment. Got to have commitment. You say, obedience. That's what they got to have. Baptized. And you've got to I'm baptized in the name of the Father. And you got to be obedient unto the Lord till he comes. Whatever you do. We do. I got to quit. Please erase this thing. I'll do it again for you. Easier. I'm trying to have it understand. It's a mess. But it's real obvious it's a mess. And to believe it, you have to be something else once you understand this. It's crazy. Anyway, I got to quit. Appreciate your everything. Bear with me, please, and don't tell anybody about this.